All right, guys, as you can see, we're continuing our series today entitled Fresh Start, Embracing God's Fullness. Before we jump into the message today, I just want to talk about two quick things. Number one, hopefully you've already checked us out on Facebook. If you haven't, we'd love for you to do that. Facebook is the way that you can keep up to date and up to speed with all that's going on here at Bethel. It's so difficult for us to talk about, share all the stories of what God is doing around and in through our church and in through our ministries. So Facebook is a great way to do that. So check us out, Bethel Community Church. Also, guys, coming up at the last Friday of this month, is our big or our first 2017 night of worship. We're going to have a theme. We're going to have a theme going in to that night of worship. We're going to be talking about that on Facebook, talking about that next Sunday to build up to our big night of worship. A night of worship is where we pray for our community. We sing some songs, and we also partake of communion. So we want to invite you out to that. Put that in your calendar. Also, every series, we have a hashtag, and this hashtag is Fresh Start BCC. It's up there in the upper right-hand corner. And if anything I say today encourages you, we'd love for you to put that on Facebook, tweet that with that hashtag, because every Tuesday, Pastor Richard and I do what's called the 10 After on Facebook Live, and we like to share what you feel like God has been speaking to you through these messages. We are continuing our series today entitled Fresh Start, and we're going to be talking about today a guy named Abraham. He's found in the book of Genesis. So if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 17, actually, when you look at Abraham's story, it's really all the way through Genesis 12, all the way through probably, I think it's 21, 22, 23, Genesis. But we're going to be looking just at one little scripture there in Genesis chapter 17. And then we're going to flip over to Acts 16, and we're going to look at this guy named the Apostle Paul. And what we're going to be talking about today, really we can learn from these two men's lives. You know, coming into 2017, if you're like me, you always think about what you can do better, right? What can I do better that I didn't do in 2016? What can I do better now in 2017? And so when we come into a new year, we oftentimes have dreams or goals that we set out for ourselves. And one of my dreams or one of my goals that I'd like to accomplish this year has to do with one of my children. My wife and I have five children. We have three girls, and I didn't know if we were ever going to have a boy, but praise God, two boys came right after that. I love my baby girls, but I'm so thankful also that God has given me two boys. And my first boy, Lawson, he is 7 years old now. And one of my dreams and one of my goals in 2017 is that I would connect with my son, Lawson, in a greater way. It's been oftentimes difficult to connect with him because he likes certain things that I necessarily don't like. He likes video games. I don't like video games. And so it's difficult for me to play video games with him. One of those reasons is because he always beats me and I hate to lose. And so whatever I can't win at, if you know me at all, you know I don't do. But I have forced myself because of one of my dreams. I want to connect with my son. But actually, it is fun doing it, but it gets very tiring, too, because my son, he's 7 years old, he's energetic, he's running around everywhere, and I have to follow him, and I find out that, man, this dream that I want to accomplish with my son is very difficult. And that's the thing with anything when it comes, I believe, with being a dream or a goal. Anything we set out to do in the new year, it's very fun and very exciting when we first think about it, isn't it? I want to get on this new diet. And that's real fun until what? The diet actually starts. I'm going to get on this new workout plan. Man, that's a lot of fun until what? The new workout plan actually starts. And so oftentimes, whether it's in our career, our personal life, our family, our money, oftentimes there's a lot of great excitement, a lot of great anticipation coming into that dream or that goal you want to accomplish. But what you find out is the very same thing I'm finding out with my dream and my goal of connecting with my son. It's very tiring. Oftentimes, it's difficult. Oftentimes, it moves us outside of our comfort zone. Therefore, what do? Most of us end up doing what? This is too tough. This is too difficult. I'm just going to quit. But today, as we look at Abraham and this guy named Paul, what we're going to see is they also had dreams. They had goals. But what we're going to see is God had something much more than just a dream and just a goal. See, we have dreams and goals, but God has meaning and purpose. Or another word for that is a destiny for our life. And what God wants to do, He wants to take us from dreaming into actually walking into our destiny. There's a difference. There's a difference between my dream and God's destiny on my life. Dream is something I'm imagining, something I'm hoping will happen. But God's destiny is something that actually is practically happening, something that I'm walking out in my life. Listen, God has a destiny for every single one of you today. If you're sitting here thinking, does God have that for me? Let me tell you something. You better believe He has it for you, every one of you. No matter what has happened, no matter what you have done, we believe that God designed you specifically with a destiny, a purpose, with meaning in mind. In fact, maybe you're sitting here today and you don't really know about your relationship with Jesus. In fact, you don't even know if Jesus really exists or if really God really exists. You're here kind of just checking it out. Well, first off, we're so glad that you're here. But even the ability to dream, it points to that you were created by a great designer that made you for a purpose, for a meaning. Because if we were designed by something that had no meaning, had no purpose, then we would never dream. Everything would be que sera, sera. So whatever happens, happens. But God has designed each and every one of us with a specific destiny in mind. And so just because we have a dream, so you might be saying, Pastor Lance, I have a dream. Is it God's destiny? We're going to find out today. And so this guy named Abraham was just like us. We find in Genesis chapter 12, God comes to this guy named Abraham. And he begins to speak to Abraham about the destiny over his life. He begins to say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, I am with you. Abraham, I am going to make you into a multitude of nations, kings and queens. Kingdoms are going to come from you, Abraham. Now, you would think that would excite Abraham, and it did a little bit. In fact, God took him outside and he said, Abraham, I want you to look at the skies, the stars in the sky. If you can count those stars, so shall your descendants be. Abraham, you need something else? Look at the sand upon the seashore. If you could count the grains of sand, which is impossible, which is why God wanted him to do this, if you could count the grains of sand, so shall your descendants be. But God's pronouncing this amazing destiny on Abraham's life. But really, all Abraham can do in this moment is think about his one little dream. See, Abraham had a dream just like you and I. And his dream was, anybody know it? To have a child. Abraham's dream is, God, I want a son. I want a son. God, give me a son. See, Abraham and his wife Sarah were getting up in age, and they hadn't had a son yet. And this was Abraham's one dream, one goal. God, I want a son. Abraham had a dream, but God had a destiny. Abraham, he's him and Sarah. They're moving throughout life. They're getting over. Years begin to go by. God's made this amazing promise to him, but year after year, they're wondering, God, what are you going to do? God, what are you going to use? I have no child. So what ends up happening? Like a lot of us, what happens with Abraham and Sarah? They grow, the Christian cuss word, impatient. And because of their impatience, they begin to get their hands involved. Yes, God made a promise to me, but I'm going to help God a little bit. Even though he's almighty, even though he's all powerful, I'm going to help him. He needs a little bit of help. And so what does Sarah do? Sarah, in her impatience, goes and gets her maidservant Hagar and brings her maidservant to Abraham. And Abraham, like any old dumb dude, said, well, I guess if you said it's okay, here we go. But remember, God's promise was not that the promise of the nations would come through Hagar. It was through Sarah. Abraham, you're going to have a son. I'm going to make you into nations, but it's going to come through Sarah. It's not going to come through Hagar. And so Abraham gets with Hagar, and guess what happens? Out pops Ishmael. You better believe it. Here comes Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, cute little boy, but the prophecy over Ishmael's life was not very good. God actually said Ishmael would be a mighty nation because he came from you, Abraham, but he's going to be a wild donkey of a man. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a good prophecy. A wild donkey of a man. That means he's going to be rebellious. He's going to push against the things of God. But Abraham, because he's from you, he's going to be a mighty nation. See, Ishmael brought a lot of discomfort to Abraham and Sarah's life. See, in most of my problems, in most of the problems that I deal with as a pastor, is because of the Ishmaels of our life. I got a little bit impatient, Pastor Lance. I took that job that I shouldn't have taken. I spent that money on what I shouldn't have spent my money on. And here comes Ishmael. And so God, see, God's destiny was for Abraham to have a son. But here's Ishmael. Now, you have to understand that Abraham, this is his son. And like any son or daughter, no matter what has happened, he loved his son. He cared for his son. He was growing his relationship with his son. I mean, this is what he had dreamed for his entire life. And God comes to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, you want my promise? You want to walk in the destiny that I have for you? Then you need to let Ishmael go. See, the first thing when it comes to going from our dream to our destiny is we need to understand, number one, that God has a destiny for our life. But number two, for our destiny, for us to begin to practically walk into our destiny, get this, our dreams have to be let go. Our dreams have to be let go. They have to, in a sense, die. Here's Abraham. He's got Ishmael. This is his son, someone he has been praying for, someone he has been desiring God for. And here comes this God talking about all these great things that he wants to do. And Abraham's looking at Ishmael and he's saying, God, why do you want me to get rid of Ishmael? My son, God, can't you work through Ishmael? Can't you work with what I already have? Uh-oh. See, here's the thing about God. God did not want to work through Ishmael. God wanted to work through the son that was going to come through Sarah. And the reason why is this. Why, God, could you not work through Ishmael? The reason why is because God loves to back himself up in a corner. God loves to stack the deck against himself in our lives. You see this all throughout Scripture. You see when the Israelites came out of Egypt, God led them, listen to me, he led them to the Red Sea, a dead end. And you would think, as you read the story, here comes the Egyptian army after the Israelites. You would think God would continue to lead them to places they could continue to run. But God led them to the Red Sea, which is a dead end. God, why would you lead your people who could not fight, who were not equipped in battle, who had no clue about who you were and your power, why would you lead them to a dead end? It's because God loves to stack the deck against himself. He loves to back himself up in the corner. He wanted to show the Israelites who he really was, that he was their shield, that he was their great protector, that he was going to war on their behalf. You think about this guy named Gideon. Gideon was a man of war. He was a leader. He was a leader of armies. And Gideon's about to go to war against this army named called Midian, this city called Midian. And God tells Gideon, Gideon, I want you to prepare your army. Get as many as you want. So Gideon, he's like me. Man, he gets as many as he can. I'm about to go to battle. I'm going to get as many soldiers as I can. He got 32,000 soldiers. That's a lot of soldiers. Now, I've never been in battle. I'm not a soldier, never been in the military. But I've been in one battle before, and that battle was at the hospital with my wife having a baby. I don't know about you, but that's a battle to me. I mean, there was screaming, there was groaning. I don't know what was going on in there. For me, when it came to that, my wife got so mad at me because I'm like Gideon. Let's get as many people in this room as possible. We need help. Everybody, you're welcome. My wife's looking around the room thinking, who you have in here, honey? Get them. I'm like, baby, we need their help. I'm no use. I'm sitting down. I can't stand the sight of blood. My head's down. I mean, it's just awful. See, Gideon, he was smart. Get as many as we can. 32,000. But God comes to Gideon, and he makes a crazy statement. He's like, Gideon, you have too many soldiers. You got too many. I'm sure Gideon's thinking, God, we're going to battle. People die. I need other people to step up, you know? No, you have too many. God whittles it down all the way down to 300 soldiers. Think about it. You're Gideon. 32,000 to 300. What are you thinking? We're about to get our butts kicked. But these are the original 300. these 300 men go against this massive army and defeat it. Why? Because God loves to stack the deck against himself. This is why Ishmael was never going to work. God had to show Abraham, Abraham, you can trust me. Abraham, you can count on me. Abraham, I'm faithful. I am trustworthy. Believe in me. So you got to let Ishmael go. See, when it comes to our dreams, friends, I'm telling you, this is one of the hardest things to do, is we have to let our dreams go so that we can walk into our destinies. Well, Pastor Lance, are you saying that the dream I have is not of God? I'm not saying that. I'm saying the way you find out is the same way Abraham found out. There has to be a place. See, after Ishmael was let go, now finally a son comes through Sarah. They've been waiting a long time. Here comes Isaac. But God comes now to Abraham and says, Abraham, you got your son, the one I'm going to work the promise through, but yet I want you to kill him. Now please understand, as we tell this story, God would never say, kill your son or daughter. Jesus did that for us, all right? This is a force, this is a picture, a type and shadow for you and I when it comes to our dreams. So here comes Abraham. He's taking his dream on the mountain. Now Isaac, he's a smart boy. He's been through this before. He has sacrificed animals before. And so here they are. He's carrying the wood on his back. That's a picture of the cross. They're carrying fire. And Isaac looks to Abraham, his daddy, and says, Daddy, we got the fire. We have the wood. But where is the sacrifice? I love Abraham's response. You can tell Abraham's growing in his trust. He says, Isaac, son, God will provide the sacrifice. He gets on top of the mountain, lays down his son. He's about to slam. God cries out, Abraham, Abraham, don't do that. Now I know that I have your heart. See, here's the thing about this dreaming phase. Is God uses the dreaming phase to conform some things on the inside of us. Even though if your dream is from God or is not, it doesn't matter. God uses it to work some things in us and out of us so that we can have the right character to be able to walk in the destiny that he has for us. One of the primary reasons, friends, that we don't walk in our God-given destiny is because a lack of character. A lack of character. But God uses this dreaming phase to produce the character on the inside of us. It was at the point, in a sense, of death that Abraham got the revelation of how great God is. He called him in that moment Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So what's our point of death? How do we know? How do I know, Pastor Lance, that the dream that I have in my heart is of God or is it not? This is the point of death for you and I, is the cross. It's Jesus. And for us, what we have to do is we have to say, God, I'm going to let my Ishmael or my dream go. I'm bringing it, here we go, to the cross. The cross is the place of death. And I'm going to lay that dream, I'm going to lay it down. But what often happens is what? If you're like me, you often go back and pick that thing back up. We lay it down, we walk away, and we're like, God, this is taking too long. I'm going to go right back. Let me pick it up. God, you need help. But if we could just lay that dream down, because this is where we find out for sure if it's of God or not, because it's at the point of death, because every dream needs to encounter the cross. Every dream needs to come into contact, have an encounter with the cross. And here's the thing, friend. If it's of you, guess what will happen? The dream will die. But it's if of God, Jesus Christ himself will pick that thing up and he'll bring it right back to you. And it will no longer be a dream. It will be your God-given destiny. Your God-given destiny. But the reason why this is so difficult is because the reason why we get up, if we're honest with ourselves, is because of the dream in our heart. Because of the career we want to have, the family we want to build, how we want our children to be, the kind of money we want to make, the kind of car we want to drive, the kind of house we want to give. That all motivates it, don't it? It motivates us every day to get up and do what we do. So this is why this is so hard, because you really don't know if you've given God everything until you have given him the dream that's in your heart. So we have to bring it to the cross. He said, Jesus, if this is of you, then God, I'm going to lay it right here. And Lord, this is of you. You're going to pick it up and bring it back to me. You know, it could be this, and I haven't said this in any other service, so this could be for somebody. It could be the dream of wanting to get married. It could be the dream of, God, I want a husband. I want a wife. Is this him or her? Now listen to me. This is key. Is the person I'm with, is that the person I'm supposed to be with? But the question for you is, have you taken it to the cross? Have you said, God, listen, let me give you an example. You know, before I actually came to know Jesus, there was a girl I thought that I was going to marry. I really thought, man, I thought I was in love with this girl. I was in college. We were doing good. I'm like, man, this is the one. This is her. But as a couple of months went by, I found out she wasn't thinking the same thing I was thinking. She dropped me like a hot sack of rocks. But when I got saved, see, when you get saved, you think all kinds of weird things. Oh, maybe God will resurrect this. Maybe God will come and, man, this make this all happen. In a sense, I had to take this desire that I had to be with this girl. I'm telling you, this is for somebody. And I had to lay it down at the foot of the cross. And I say, God, if this is not of you, Lord, then I want it to die right here. Because you have the perfect, not perfect, I'm sorry, the right person. Because nobody's perfect. The right person for me. And you know what? A couple months later, I find myself at Pastor Ron David's house, starting talking to this girl named Deanna Moore. And lo and behold, she becomes Deanna Phillips. Phillips a couple of months later, about 6 months later. It's amazing what God will do when you take what's in your heart and you lay it down. See, listen, you can trust him. You can trust him with your job. You can trust him in your relationships. He is trustworthy. You can trust him. Abraham had to grow in this. We have to grow in it as well. And the last thing is this. As we lay those things down, now we're beginning to walk because God has brought it back. Maybe he's brought it back to us. Maybe he's died. Maybe he's given us a new one. Now we're walking into our destiny. But here's what Abraham knew he couldn't do it alone. And this gets us also in the Apostle Paul. If you look in Acts chapter 16, I know we never looked in, I'm sorry, the book of Genesis. I apologize. What we're going to look at is when God came to him and he began to talk to him about his Abraham's dream, what he was going to do, Abraham began to laugh. In fact, he started laughing so hard, Sarah started laughing as well. It was amazing. It was mind-boggling to them what God was about to do. But they were not going to accomplish this dream alone. And this is what we find out in Acts chapter 16. If you turn to Acts chapter 16, this is so key to us practically walking this out. Acts chapter 16. Pastor Ron, you come on up. See, here's the thing about this destiny that God has for you. It's bigger than your dream. It's bigger than it. And it always involves, listen to me, more than just you. If whatever you have on your heart is just about you, you know it's not God's dream. Because his dream always involves more than you. It involves people, other people. Everything God does in our life is not just for you, it's always for others. Whether it's giving you a nicer home or a bigger home, whether it's giving you more money, it's always so that you can be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. And none of us in this room will ever accomplish or reach our destinies without others in our life. This is why we so believe in spiritual family. This is why we believe in the power of the local church. This is why God has you here. So you can connect with others. Listen, everything that I believe I am walking out my destiny because it involves you. It involves others. And every individual destiny, get this, is always found within the corporate destiny of the local church. You will never reach it alone. Never. But oftentimes, as we're on this road into our destiny, oftentimes the path that we get on is very curvy. It's not curvy because God's curvy. It's curvy because you and I, again, remember how we kind of go back and forth? God, I believe you. God, I trust you. God, I don't believe you. God, I don't trust you. And so therefore, we find ourselves going like this into our destiny. It's like a windy road. Not because God, he didn't know what he's doing. It's because oftentimes it's you and I's decisions that we make. But the good news is at least we're moving in the right direction. And you think about roads. Every road that has curves on it, oftentimes, if it's a lot of curves, has what on the side of it? What's called a guardrail. And the reason why the guardrail is there is to protect you, because that person who designed that road knows the tendency is I'm going to get off track a little bit. Therefore, the guardrail is to help me get back on track. You know what? God is the same way in our life. He puts guardrails in our life. Guardrails are the grace of God in our life. Because He knows as we're reaching our destiny, walking into our destiny, oftentimes what happens? We get off track. But God's so gracious and so loving, He uses these guardrails to get us back on track. Because He's got destiny for us. He's got things for us to do, places for us to go. And when you look here in Acts chapter 16, you actually see the guardrails that God uses that are oftentimes you would never think would be a guardrail. Look at this. In Acts 16, look at verse 6. This guy, Paul, he's been saved. He's been given the message of the gospel. He wants to take this message of Jesus to other cities. He's got good motives. He's thinking right. But look what happens. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Now listen to this. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, or your version might say the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to preach the word in Asia. Now, why in the world would God forbid someone who is going to do something good, preaching the message of Jesus, from going into a certain city? Why was the door closed to this guy named Paul? See, it's because of this. Again, you may have a dream, but God has a destiny. Paul had a dream. Paul's dream was to preach the message of Jesus into different cities. But God had a destiny. God closed the door so that Paul would be directed. There's a guardrail, closed door. So that Paul would be directed into where God ultimately wanted him to go. You know what that was? It was Macedonia. Macedonia is modern-day Turkey. See, what happened is that door in Macedonia, it opened up the entire, get this, nation of Europe to hear the message of Jesus. Paul just wanted to reach a city, but God wanted him to reach an entire nation. Can you imagine that? So oftentimes, it's the closed doors in our life that causes us to walk into our destiny. Have you ever thanked God for the closed doors in your life? And I'm so thankful He closed that door in that relationship, because I would have never met my beautiful wife and be who I am today with my 5 children. It was the hindrance. God sometimes hinders us to cause us to walk into our destiny. That's mind-boggling. But what you also see here is another guardrail. Paul gets this understanding. Okay, I realize I'm not supposed to go to Asia. God closed that door. I'm walking in my destiny. I'm supposed to go to Macedonia. But the Bible says that it wasn't just Paul that went. It said that He had called us to preach the gospel in Macedonia. So here comes this whole ideal of spiritual family, of community. He could not do it alone. We have a statement here at Bethel. We say it all the time. If you find your people, you find your purpose. Now, that may sound weird to you, but it is so true, and it is vital. You're never going to reach it alone. This is why here at Bethel, we have what we call community groups. What community groups do is they connect you. Listen, we are busy people. You're at work. You may be a stay-at-home mom. You're driving people everywhere. Maybe a stay-at-home dad. Maybe you have a full-time job. Kids maybe play sports. You're all over the place. You got to go work out. You got to do this. You got to do that. And what happens is we never connect with our church family. Therefore, what we do is we give you opportunities to do that. We have what we call community groups where you can sign up for a group. Therefore, you know, okay, I'm all over the place, but at least Monday nights, 7 o'clock, I can connect with my group, I can grow my relationship with God, and I can actually begin to move into my God-given destiny. You know, here, we pass these out today. If you get this out just for a second, these community groups, if you don't have one, you raise your hands and our ushers will give you one.